and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. I'm ready to talk Extreme Rules.
Go. Extreme Rules. Well, I think when we're talking about Extreme Rules, we're going to be starting off with the match that everybody's talking about. Randy Orton against Kane.
I think we're going to talk about the match that everybody's talking about. Miz versus Santino Marella.
Yes, the pre-show.
YouTube match.
The YouTube pre-show match.
The clean, for the IC belt.
U.S. belt.
Whatever. Defeated clean in the ring. Clean as a sheet by the Cobra.
Holy sheet.
Miz.
Yes.
Yeah, so that renewed push after WrestleMania, when he won for Team Johnny.
That's right.
Going excellent.
It really is. I mean, we couple that with the fact that Miz not on Raw or SmackDown fought Alex Riley on Superstars. You think about that. Alex Riley on Superstars. That would be like, honestly, that would be like in today's day and age, Ted DiBiase fighting Virgil, you know, after WrestleMania 5 on, like, you know, prime time, like, you know, on a nothing C show,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's...
And those two are getting along fine, I know, because I spent the weekend with them.
That's true.
That's true. That actually is true.
That is the truth. That is the truth. I'm surprised you still have your headset.
Yeah,
stolen.
Didn't get stolen.
No.
DiBiase has money. Actually, yep. He's not. He's not the million dollar man anymore, he said. But anyways.
Really?
We're gonna, yeah, but okay, so after that, Miz's career is the shits.
The shits.
And Santino's career is existing.
It
and
is.
Speaking of the shit, then we go to Randy Orton versus Kane.
Yeah.
Was that pin falls count anywhere or something?
Yeah, falls count anywhere.
So the fall, of course, happened clean in the
ring,
middle of the ring.
Yes. Well, on a chair. They
oh,
did,
fuck, whatever.
I'm just saying. On a fucking chair. But, no, the only thing, I mean, they did go to the back for a brief period. I mean, they prowled through the crowd, you know, like a Jeff Jarrett match. And they went into the back. Where Zack Ryder got a little bit of time where he attacked Kane.
Because he wants revenge for what Kane did to him 4 months ago. Now that he's finished, you know,
but also,
being in tag team matches and losing a bunch of other matches to other people,
right.
Now he's ready to take on Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Loser.
Well, and Kane did beat the shit out of him again just a couple weeks
and
ago.
And him, now that, what's her name, Eve Torres is with... John Laurinaitis, is that, they just dropped that right in the middle of too?
Yeah, yeah.
Followed up on that?
Well, it's not that they dropped or never followed up with it, it's just, it basically was explained that Eve was a cunt.
And that
was it. So
she was still fucking with them, and they were going somewhere with that, and then they weren't.
I don't think they were, I think that was just the final blow-off.
Oh, hey, just the final way to make him look like a moron?
Yeah.
Huh,
yeah,
pretty
well,
much. That's how you build people to draw money.
Fuck you, internet. So, anyway.
Stupid.
So
this match is over, thank God.
Yes, and Randy Orton wins.
Yeah.
Randy Orton wins.
And it's over.
It looks like Randy Orton to be, they're talking about Randy Orton being Brock Lesnar's SummerSlam opponent, so making sense for him to get the win there.
Yeah.
So, the next...
Plus, while I'm not exactly high on Randy Orton right now, he should definitely be beating Kane, who I'm, you know, he's over. He's done.
Yeah.
It's over, Johnny.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's way done. So speaking of over and done,
yeah, no
the
kidding.
Next match, Brodus Clay against Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah. They were cheering Dolph, no surprise. Brodus would have probably been going downhill anyways, but sure as hell was with Hornswoggle out there.
Yeah.
That doesn't help for work, especially in front of this crowd, which is a pretty hardcore crowd in Chicago.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Brodus's work was so bad.
Oh.
Even Dolph didn't make him look good. And Dolph's great.
I understand the theory there, that if you're going to have Brodus's sort of first extended match, you're going to have it with the bump machine, right?
Yeah, exactly. But and somebody who can make you look good.
Yeah.
He couldn't make him look good. He was out of position so much.
Yeah.
His offense didn't look very realistic. It was terrible. This was a bad match, and Brodus looked just horrible. And, of course, he won clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, let's go Ziggler chants a little bit from the Chicago crowd, right? So,
yeah.
It was...
It's a hell of an entrance still.
Oh, it's a hell of an entrance. It's a hell of a finish, and it's a nice kind of in-between. You know, it's like right now, I mean, without... The thing is, like, Rikishi could work.
That's the thing.
Right? And, I mean, Rikishi, I mean, we did a 1989 in review show.
Yeah.
And Rikishi was a member of the Samoan SWAT team.
Exactly.
And then 2000 is when he did it for The Rock, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
So all points in between there, that's, you know, fucking 11 years.
Wait a second. 2000, 1989. Okay, wait. This is how you do this.
Okay.
Okay, all right. What you do is you take...
That's slightly younger than the WWE title.
Yes. Yes. We're told today is... 15 years.
15 more the older than 50
older
years.
Older than
15
years.
True.
That's true. If it's 50 years old, it's still also older than 15. But we're pretty sure it's only 50. I don't know when. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, Brodus wins. Fuck. Over Dolph.
You realize the UFC title is, I believe, older than 15 years, and that's seen as a new title, a new sport still to submit to many degrees.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, it'd be about 1990. 5-ish, 96, right, when it came out there? But that was the UFC, that was a tournament title. That wasn't like weight class heavyweight championship.
I'm pretty sure that was still around 1994, but I couldn't tell you.
Anyways.
We don't talk UFC on this show.
No,
we talk wrestling.
We talk wrestling, and wow, was there ever some wrestling in the next match when the Big Show fought Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
This was a spin the wheel, make the deal. This was a match, title could change hands if you step on a table.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to get into this a little bit.
Okay.
They were saying it was a spin the wheel, make the deal, but the t-shirts already listed it as being a table match ahead of time. So
yeah.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last good table match you watched?
Oh my good God.
I tell you, the last good table match I watched was the first table match I watched. Between the Dudleys and the Hardys. I believe the Royal Rumble.
At the Royal Rumble, like, where Jeff Hardy did the off the top of the entrance thing there.
Yeah, that was the first table match I watched. That was the last good table match I've watched.
I don't know if that was the first I watched. But you're right, that is the one that stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Table matches are over. Going through the table, meaning
they're
anything,
not.
Or looking like it's, well, it's not.
They're done.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're done. You stick a fork in them.
Yes.
They are done.
Yeah, that's.
Like, it's not excited in it. Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah, they're not exciting. Nobody's excited to see them. They were killed for me when I think it might even have been, who was it that took on Shane Douglas in WCW? And you had
the
to win.
The Wall?
Yeah,
and it was The Wall, because tables were his gimmick.
Yeah, that's right. And he won the first two tables, and then he went through three tables at the same time.
You had to go. It was like a best of five tables match.
That was 2000, probably 2000, 1999. That's what killed it for me. 2000. So the first one we saw was 1999.
Yeah.
And the one that killed it for me was 2000 or 90. You know, like yeah. So I mean, it's been dead for a long time. The psychology of these things is just so stupid, because it takes so long to set up the tables and get them in position.
There
isn't the coolness factor of a table or of a ladder match or TLC match in order to, because the spots aren't so spectacular, pays off.
And the reality is, part of that is the TLC match, because really the ladder, you talk about the Hardys and the Dudleys when they throw an Edge and Christian there, and they really took, you know, tables with the ladder, and then the table, I mean, both the table really and the ladder became, you know, lesser matches on their own.
Yeah.
But at least the ladder, there's a point to it. You set up the fucking ladder and you climb
it. The psychology of it
is
still good. The psychology of it is still good, and the matches themselves are generally usually still very exciting.
But the thing is,
the psychology of a table match is stupid.
Well, no, the thing is, let's look at the table. I mean, I'm pointing out recent bigger table matches, and we'll include this one. But the Sheamus
Cena
one, and the Miz and Orton one.
Yeah.
And both were fluke, like, these are all fluke victories, is the common.
And that's what we had tonight, right? Cody Rhodes regains the belt because he drop kicked him from the apron, and he stepped onto the table and it broke, and you couldn't tell if it was real or not. I missed it because I was bored with this match.
Yeah,
so I got up and I took a Russo.
Oh yes, that's right.
So I missed the end of this match, and it was way more enjoyable.
Yeah,
just brutal.
Yeah, that's just stupid. Anyway, so now way to get over your new champion and your rising star, and there you go.
Because like I said, I'd like to see Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan for the world title in a year's time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's still probably better enough. I don't know. Big Show's big WrestleMania win, the one that made him cry because he was so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 5 weeks later he loses.
Well, yeah, but that was just the whole point was to give him that, and that's fine. They did nothing with it. It was very obvious.
I worry we're going to see these guys go at it one more time. They'll get a rubber match there.
Well, I think you have to because of the flukeness, right? Now, whether that's a TV match or another... I mean, well, the thing is, Over the Limit, as they said, is in 3 weeks, May 20th. So it wouldn't surprise me that they do another pay-per-view match because you've got three TVs, right? So,
yeah,
you know, anything you would save, yeah, I bet you that's not going to surprise me, is that this is Backlash's Backlash.
Yeah, basically,
Over the Limit,
right? Over the Limit.
So... But then Matt Stryker's interviewing Daniel Bryan in the back. He does a bunch of yes. They pipe in a bunch of no's. I think the big thing here is that after there's AJ kind of lurking in the shadows, looking psycho.
Looking a little heelish.
Looking like she just put a cat in a dryer.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that?
Hmm?
I got to go to your dryer. Hold on.
Okay. Pussy's pussy. What?
There.
Anyway. She, you know, yeah, so she's got that, she's snapped and kind of, I mean, you go back to SmackDown when Caitlyn is talking to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
or when she beats up Natalya.
Natty, too, yeah, they did 2 weeks of it, and she's just slapped Caitlyn, but she had the kind of look, and after she slapped, she's like, oh my God, what have I done? So, yeah, she's kind of flipping out here.
There's her heel.
Which is cool. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it's fine, yes. I liked it more in the Elizabeth role, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Even Elizabeth eventually got old.
Everything's rushed,
is
the thing. Like, I would have liked to see this, you know, next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Then we get the 2 out of 3. Probably the second best, third best match of the night, I guess, probably?
Probably third best, yeah.
Third best match of the night.
It's pretty good. 3 and a quarter, I give it, something like that.
Yeah, it was
pretty
just,
fair.
Just at above average, I guess.
Yeah.
Took a long time to get to the first fall.
Yeah.
Which
was a disqualification. Which
was a disqualification. Bryan kept kicking. And it looked like Bryan, almost like a plan had backfired because he got disqualified and he was kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Like, that's kind of what I wanted. The psychology of it was, yeah, sure, I got disqualified, but I beat the fuck out of him so bad by getting disqualified that now I can win the second fall. And he did mere moments later with the yes lock. There.
Yeah.
And then
basically you had Sheamus in the corner, and the referee checking on him, can you go, can you still go, and Daniel Bryan leading yes chants.
Yeah.
There was a few, like, they piped in no chants as well.
Mm-hmm.
They piped in booing at some point, for instance, when he got the fall. But there was some, I think that there was some no chants, because there was a lot of kids in the audience tonight, you can tell.
Yeah.
I do think there was, I don't think it was all... I wouldn't say, like, it wasn't like WrestleMania, where it was 100% Daniel Bryan.
Or Raw the next night kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Probably more like 75-25.
It was, Sheamus had people there. And again, when there were the non-piped in, when there was, the organic, if you were, chants for Sheamus.
Yeah.
They were the high-pitched Cena chants, right?
It really
like was. So, but, you know... Then third fall, Sheamus wins.
When he stands up and you're thinking Daniel Bryan has him because he looks like he's just out of it.
Yeah.
He turns around, bro kick, Bryan takes a hell of a bump, falls right into it.
Yeah.
And it was one hell of a great bump.
And no AJ.
No AJ, which was a surprise.
Yeah, that was.
And I was even expecting, I was worried this was going to be a complete buster. I was expecting the third fall. AJ, I was expecting ADR
and
Roberto.
Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, yeah. I was expecting a lot of bullshit, but you know what? There wasn't any bullshit really at all tonight for the whole damn thing.
That's true, actually. Yeah, it was a fairly, we'll
clean
get there.
Pretty
but,
much.
The next was the second best match of the night. Aaron Relic and Jay Hatton against Ryback.
Okay. Here's the highlight of this. Is Santino standing at the back, because this is a gimmick, because people gather around to watch.
Ryback.
So he's sitting there and he's like, he's talking about it. He's like, oh, this is going to be whatever. And he motions over to somebody, and Great Khali walks in. And Great Khali says,
I know, right?
That might have been the best moment of the whole show.
Well, you know, later on, when you talk about sort of working MMA moves, Khali taught Brock how to do that.
Yeah, we've had him on the show. He's extremely eloquent. I don't understand.
He said something. He's an actor.
He's a thespian. There's something along the lines like this is going to be good or something. So anyways, you had these two unknown jobbers cut.
Total combined weight of 345 pounds or something.
They cut. They cut okay promos.
Well, the little guy, the guy that was like 105 pounds soaking wet looked to me like an indie manager because he cut a good promo but had no build.
It was all right.
Anyway.
Another guy I think might have been okay, too, except for the problem with the mic stop working.
Huge Goldberg chance, bro.
Well, I had mentioned I thought he reminded me of Lesnar Ryback did.
Yeah.
And he took the two steps out, started walking, and I went, Goldberg.
Yeah.
To you. And he gets in the ring, the music dies down, and all of a sudden you look at me, and I look at you, and we're like, what are they chanting? Pretty soon it gets more audible. Goldberg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm not the only one thinking it. And it's not just the way they're pushing him. It is really...
Well, he's smacking him on the head.
It's a lot of the work, the mannerisms. A little bit of the work, a lot of the push, and a lot more of the mannerisms.
Right. Well, you figure that was, again, we're talking about 15 years ago almost.
Yeah.
1998.
Yeah. And a lot of crowds wouldn't chant that. But this crowd would.
Ryback, when they're saying this is what we're going to do with you, watch Goldberg.
Yeah.
Right? Watch the matches. Do that shit, right? Yeah. So, and it's one of the...
At this point, it's not working, though, because at this point, Goldberg was getting, after 3 or 4 weeks of this, was getting way more of a reaction than Ryback. I still don't think it's a...
No, that revision is history.
No, I've watched them on YouTube within the last 3 months. You haven't.
Yeah.
By week three, he was getting a good reaction.
Oh, sure, but...
Ryback got nothing.
But you also have to look at what was... he debuted when? In November, correct?
Yeah,
November. So it wasn't November. It was September. I'm sorry.
Well,
September
there were two things. There were two things
against
that,
Hugh Morris, right?
Yeah.
So who is his Halloween Havoc opponent?
I couldn't tell you.
Who is his Starrcade opponent? I'll give you a hint. They're the same person.
They were both Mongo, right?
Mongo.
Yeah.
So I mean, the career didn't. I'm not talking about reaction. I'm just saying.
I'm talking reaction. Though.
Yeah,
it's
but
more than this. But I'll tell you, there was two reasons.
Well,
there were two reasons why. Number one, because he's just more charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
He just is more charismatic, more athletic. His moves look a little more impressive. I think Ryback's got potential, but Goldberg was a little better. But the other thing was when Mean Gene would come up to him and try to talk to him, and he just look at him and walk away. That gave him a little bit of a mystery aura that Ryback doesn't necessarily have right now.
That's true.
Because Ryback does a lot of talking in the ring.
Yeah.
A lot of...
Feed me more,
which is his who's next.
That's his, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
So but it's not really working at this point, and...
Well, Ryback did a...
at least that's another thing. Goldberg beat, we say, Hugh Morris. This guy's beating who? Barry Stevens?
Yeah, that's a real great defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. That's another reason why it's not as, at least Goldberg's beating people who are...
Yeah,
somewhat
that's what your defense is that he's not beating Barry Stevens... He's beating Hugh Morris.
Hugh Morris, you can say what you want, was at least better known and
okay.
More.
I don't like Hugh Morris.
No, neither nobody
yeah,
did.
Yeah, but in the pecking order of WCW, right? I mean,
I think he beat week two.
He beat Lightning
Wrath.
Jerry Flynn. No, he didn't beat Wrath. Wrath was always a guy that got.
Week two or week three?
No.
He did beat him.
He did. Man, he beat him like three times because they would build Wrath up for like. 4 weeks, and then with impressive wins, and then they'd feed him to Goldberg.
Yeah, that's my point, though. That's another reason why he'd get over more.
Well, the talent pool is deeper.
Yeah.
Right?
But at least he's beating people with slightly more names. So Ryback, though, I mean, I don't think they're doing the wrong thing with him. It's just it's not really working at this point. And I think part of it is, another thing that was working for Goldberg that doesn't work here is Goldberg didn't come out as a babyface. And I don't know that Ryback should be coming out as a babyface.
The thing is, Ryback... I guess he is because they're having the jobbers say fuck you and
jobbers
Grand
getting
Rapids
heat
socks and shit. Yeah. The thing with this one and the
two are better than one was his thing.
Yeah. The easiest example I could give. Oh fucking, that went on forever. Michael Cole's like shut up. the thing is that just as Brodus Clay is poor man's Rikishi.
Yeah.
Right. Ryback is poor man's Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it's funny because. you know, we talked about Rikishi having, you know, 11 years. Well, Goldberg didn't have that shit.
But, no, he didn't. But he had some other intangibles.
No, but in fact, Ryback probably has more
in-ring
than Goldberg did. But you're right. It's the intangible of pushing a monster.
And who the guy being pushed is, and who he's facing,
yeah.
And all these
that's
all
right.
These.
Well,
things.
I don't even know.
But
who
I'm not saying I'm not giving up on Ryback. I'm just saying, I thought after a few weeks of destroying people on TV, he'd have some reaction. I mean, there was nothing.
No, that's right.
Nothing,
especially in Chicago. He's still better than Tenzai, though. Well, and I think though part of the non-reaction tonight, I think, is like. You're giving me a 1989 to go back that far superstar squash match on pay-per-view.
And I paid for this.
And unadvertised. And I paid to come here and watch a fucking pay-per-view. And you're giving me this bullshit.
Yeah,
like, that to me is part of the non-reaction. Like, if this was a SmackDown show or even a Raw.
Yeah, people don't mind it as much.
Perhaps you might be getting a better reaction there. But
plus,
you're not to say he'd be over like Rover, but, you know.
No, plus you're already doing this after doing Brodus and Ziggler, which is sort of a squash as well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, and another unadvertised.
And another thing is, in the back, watching him on the monitor this time, is two people, not 20.
Well, you know, I think last...
they flew in Collie just to say...
Yeah, I know. Thespian. I think last week, though, only the Usos were watching when they fought the thing.
So even the people in the back are not as interested as they used to be.
Well, the thing is that this is actually, other than the Legends, this is, and even one of the Legends was Hillbilly Jim, for God's sakes, but this is, with Kali and Santino, this, of the current crop of wrestlers, this is his... highest up the card audience thus far. It was the Usos. It was like Hawkins and Rex and, you know. You know, so this is, it's, you know.
At least it's Santino. And at least it's the guy who was in the Elimination Chamber. At least it's a little bit higher
up.
Well,
U.S. champion. That was my first thought. And then he goes, U.S. champion. U.S. champ.
Yeah.
But, who knows, right? So, street fight. Punk and Jericho.
Better than Mania. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Crowd started this is awesome chance. I wouldn't give it that.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. It was it was another long match to be expected because it wasn't really a lot of matches on the card, you know.
Yeah. Punk's sister is fuckable.
Yeah, Punk's sister is definitely fuckable. Definitely fuckable. She was there. Punk's mom. Yeah.
You'd fuck her.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. And his sister. At the same time.
There were
freaky.
Speaking of your mother, there were some sloppy spots in this.
Of course there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Punk slipped once. He almost slipped a second time. There was some other Punk. But the thing is, what they did was made it really feel like a very intense fight between two guys who really hate each other. That's what it came across like.
Yeah.
It was like there was a grudge here. I really don't like you. And I'm willing to fight my heart out to beat you.
And
that was the story that they told pretty good.
Yeah, and part of it, I mean, if I had the sound off for part of the match, actually, and I didn't know any better, and I was like, because I watch a lot of old stuff on YouTube on my Xbox and vintage and shit, right? So had I not known that and I went to the bathroom and on mute or whatnot, I thought maybe you put that in, I would have thought that this was that 1997 street fight between Billy and Bart Gunn. A blonde and a brunette, both wearing the almost identical jeans and boots.
Yeah, that was one thing, definitely.
Yeah.
I know one of them had faded black jeans and black boots.
And
the other one had
dark blue jeans.
And boots. And that didn't help.
No.
It's a street fight. But you know what? Like I say, as far as making a match where it's like, and it's a good way to blow off the feud. I mean, there is no place to go with it now. Now he's beat him again. He beat him at street fight, beat him clean with whatever. You know, he hit him with the GTS. He's beat him with the GTS and the Anaconda Vice.
And the Anaconda Vice, yeah.
And
I mean, Punk, as we were talking about while the match was going on, got the title in October. So he's had November, December, January, February, March, April. So and we're going to go into May here. So we're looking at least a seven-month reign for him thus far. And really, I mean, we really need a couple. To me, it's 2 years is the magic number to get. But because To me, it's going to take, once you get past that year, like when he's defending it at WrestleMania 29.
Well, how long was Rob Van Dam's ECW TV title run? And that was very impressive. I think it was 15.
2 years.
I think, was it that long? Yeah, I thought it was 15 months. But
No. It was
longer
like
than that,
years. Yeah.
And that, but that's what made it impressive. And that's why it would go on ahead of the world title, part of the reason. That's one of the reasons why he got over. It's like he's got this thing.
Good matches
all the time.
The reason I say 2 years, or you said 18 months, 2 years, that's pretty close, but is because, like, right now, it's 7 months, and I don't think the title's any more over than it was 7 months ago. Well, maybe a little bit, because it was Del Rio and shit, right?
But who did he defend against directly out of winning it?
Cena and Punk.
Right after winning it?
Yeah, because he beat, would Kevin Nash come in, right?
Oh, that's right,
He beat, and then I think the next one was against, I think the next match was against Cena, because Punk was fighting Hunter. And,
no, but when he won the belt.
Who?
Because he didn't have the belt when he fought Hunter. He won that right after the feud with Hunter.
Yeah, Punk won a three-way against Cena and Del Rio.
Cena and Del Rio, okay.
Yeah, so it was Cena, Del Rio, Punk was the mix there.
Okay.
So
I'm just saying, before, I cannot recall who he was defending against, before he was defending against Chris Jericho.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Who did he...
In his Elimination Chamber, I mean, who did he beat at, who's he beat at, was it Dolph Ziggler at Royal Rumble? Like, again?
Well, yeah, it was. It was Ziggler because, Ziggler was fucked because Johnny Ace was the ref.
That's
right. But I'm pretty sure it was...
the point being that...
It was Del Rio, though.
Okay.
I think he fought Del Rio at Survivor Series, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, because Howard Finkel was his own personal ring announcer.
That's right.
In Madison Square Garden. And then they did a rematch because Cena wasn't on that card.
Yes.
And that was the big thing.
The point is, though, is we're talking 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And for part of it is the feuds haven't been very memorable up until this point.
That's what I'm saying. So the title isn't really over at this point.
Yeah.
So it's going to take to
That's one of the reasons why, though.
To me,
nobody would sit there. If I said to people on Twitter, hey, he's had the title for 7 months, I think most would say, really?
Who'd he ever beat?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I mean, when you get past that year, though, that's when, I don't say the aura is the wrong word, but when that sort of mystique, I guess, of being the champion for a year is going to kind of take over.
Yeah, this guy's special. He's doing something we haven't seen before in 20 years.
It used to be 8 months, really.
Yeah.
Like with the Bret Harts and the Diesels and everything, you win it, and then you win it at Mania-like, and then you lose it at Survivor Series.
Hulk Hogan had it 2 years from WrestleMania 1 to 2.5, just WrestleMania, well, maybe almost 3 years.
When Andre the Giant... He presented him his trophy on the Piper's Pit. His exact words were, 3 years to be a champion is a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So
since then, have we had a champion who's had it three years or even two?
No. No, we haven't.
And even before Russo and all this hotshotting, we haven't.
No, because if you look at the thing, it was Hogan won it in 1984, right?
Yeah.
Lost it in 1988.
Yeah.
Right. So he had 3 years to be champion. It was the next year.
And then
so
a year for Savage.
Events. Then a full year for Savage.
A year for Hogan.
Well, Hogan, 5 to 6, right?
Yeah.
Warrior won it in 6, lost it at the Royal Rumble.
So 9 months.
Slaughter,
9 months.
So say 9 months. Slaughter had the 3 month transition.
Hogan
then 7. Until Survivor Series again, when he lost it to The Undertaker. Undertaker had it for a week.
And then
then Royal Rumble, Flair wins it.
Yeah.
Flair has it for a few months. Savage has it for about 6 months.
Yeah.
From Mania until just after
SummerSlam. Flair gets it again.
Flair gets it for like a month.
Yeah.
And then Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Bret Hart wins.
Bret Hart
wins it in October. Holds it to Mania to lose it to Yokozuna.
Like 6 months
Yokozuna loses it to Hogan that night.
Yeah, but
beat Hogan in July. Holds the Yokozuna
he had 11
held
months.
The title for
11 months.
About a year. Yeah, until
about 11 months. Yeah.
Well, about a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Until a little less, but it was July. July was King of the Ring, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you go July until March, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then Bret won it.
That's a little, 10 months.
Yeah, and then Bret won it but and lost in a Survivor Series, won at Mania, lost in a Survivor Series to Bob Backlund, who won it next week, to, lost it next week, rather, to Diesel.
And Diesel holds it for a year.
And Diesel holds it for the year of decadence.
Yeah.
And then Diesel loses it back to Brett. And so, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're going,
and Brett has
we could go through the whole fucking
thing. The point is, the last guy who, Triple H had it for a year. When Goldberg beat him, he had it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time that I think...
That's when he was given the belt.
Yeah,
dude,
he was given
yeah.
the belt, he held it for a year, and Goldberg beat him.
Yeah.
That
was the long... Yeah, previous, probably the longest...
That is the longest one, probably, since probably Diesel.
Yeah, weird how that works, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean probably...
And since then, I think there was a period where John Cena had it like 9 months, 9, 10 months, because there was a period where he was closing in on... on Hunter, and I think there was like a 7-8 month reign for Orton.
And
one
Stone
point.
Cold had a, you know, like, I mean, if you take out the fact that he lost it to Kane for one night, you know, had from the Mania, and then, I mean, there was all the back and forth. Well, you don't know. That,
no, it wasn't.
I take that back, because it was the internet, yeah, and then Survivor Series Deadly Game is when Rock had it, and Rock went for...
So it really is, if you look at it, there's, right. I mean, Cena's had it for about 9 months, I think Orton had a 6 or 7 month reign.
Right.
I think Triple H had it for a year. That was, like I say, when Goldberg was there, which was, what, 7, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Punk really is, I mean, poised to do...
Do something that people can view as special.
Yeah.
If he gets the 18 months, 2 years, like you say, people will go, he's the longest reigning champion forever. This guy is, since this guy's the longest reigning champion since 1987,
yes.
That's how you build it up, and that's how you build the character and the belt back
up. And that's, yeah, exactly, and that's how, as I said, that aura, that mystique takes over for the fact that Yeah, he beat Ziggler. And
exactly.
He beat, you know what I mean?
That's
it doesn't matter who he
that's
beat.
That's what it was
point.
About Rob Van Dam. It was in an era where,
yes.
where Vince Russo
in a time.
And where the WWE and WCW were constantly changing titles.
Yeah.
And even the ECW title was going anywhere from 3 months to 9 months, generally, reigns. You had this title run that was, like you say, probably 2 years in that range. People, when I heard that on TV, I'm like, holy fuck, he's been champion for 2 years?
Yeah.
Like, you don't hear that anymore. Like,
no.
It stood out to me, and I wasn't even a big ECW fan when it first came on Spike TV, because it was hard to follow from Calgary, Alberta, Canada
yeah,
in that era.
Right, that's right.
You know, despite Lance Storm.
We had to go to the strip club at 2 a.m. to watch it.
And we did.
Yeah. It's true. But the thing was, is that with Rob Van Dam, again, who did he beat? Didn't matter, right?
No,
when we talk
at
about
a certain point,
3 years
matter.
To be a champion, that's a long time. We don't care that Hulk Hogan, you know, did a summertime loop with the One Man Gang.
No, that
right. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't
it's
matter.
The fact that he was a champion for almost 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what Punk is sort of poised to do. Anyway, the great part was, you know, Punk, you know, Jericho again putting him over.
Yeah.
I don't know where Jericho kind of goes from here. That's
go away for 3-4 months and come back. Like I've been saying for a long time, I'll say it again, Jericho needs an extended babyface run. That's the next
I think you're right, you're right. But, I mean, I think, yeah. But it's, again... And
he's a great heel, but right now, they need, number one, he would be more unique as a babyface.
And they need him.
And they need him.
They do, they really do. But, yeah, you're right. Do the Fozzy tour over the summer, come back in September... you know, poised for a babyface run.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, I agree.
How about, if Daniel Bryan's still a heel versus babyface Chris Jericho, right?
And he probably will be. Fucks. But, all right, well, let's
go. He's such a great heel persona.
Well, he is. You're
it's,
right.
It's,
but,
you know,
but
it is
how
difficult.
Do you deny it, though?
That's the thing about Jericho.
Austin
was
great as a heel when he was a heel, too, talking, you know, when he was
well, but
shaking
here's the
his
thing.
Head and doing that shit, right?
Chris Jericho right now is a great... It portrays a great heel, but he's not a great heel because it doesn't feel fresh. So even though he portrays it beautifully, as
even
a heel,
after he showers,
fresh as a daisy, it doesn't. Though it feels because his character's even though he's gone for a while, it basically came back to the same character.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, let's go back to this pay per view. That was a good little
the what?
Tangent. Yeah, there was in the back for some reason because they're just. Really kind of friendly. The Bellas are talking to Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
Their opponents. And anyway,
Beth
is saying,
yeah.
like, I don't give a fuck how hurt I am. I'm going to kick your ass. And Eve says, no, you're not. And we'd heard this. WWE had sent a text earlier in the to their members or whatever earlier in the
mystery opponent
today to say that Beth is not medically cleared, there'd be a mystery opponent. So it's like karma, chameleon.
Yeah.
And she comes and goes. But
she really has.
I know.
She showed up, gone for like a year, showed the Royal Rumble. She's
gone again. Exactly. It's her gimmick.
She'll come again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She wants to have a kid, yeah, still.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, the thing is, I mean, so that's what we're thinking. And then it turns out that, and even in the back, Eve says, don't worry, it's not karma. And they're like, oh. So they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it is karma. Like,
yeah.
It seems like a really fucked up swerve, so.
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking, oh, and then all of a sudden, Layla's music, or the Flawless music.
Well, yeah, the Bell has come out and cut a promo where they're cutting each other off.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for it to be Karma, because these guys, we know their contract's up in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Got the belt, Karma wanted them to still be there. Hopefully you're still employed when I come back.
And the Bellas were, it is perfect, right? Because the
Bellas
were champions when she left.
And the crowd, that's why when Layla came out, the crowd chanting
for
Karma.
We want Karma, yeah.
It was perfect. It was set up so perfect.
And
the problem is with Layla, I don't mind Layla coming back, but here's the biggest problem was the music hit, nay, it's not Karma, so that's a disappointment. Number two is the music hit, she came running down to the ring, started the match. There was no, hey, it's Karma.
So
no of her soaking
Layla,
it up.
Yeah.
Or sorry, yeah. No of her soaking it up.
Maybe
either.
That's why she did it. Hey,
no, but,
hey,
you know
you're not Karma.
But you know what? If you act like
I'm here, instead of acting
like I'm here and I'm special, that's how they're going to treat you. She didn't do enough.
That was the person beside Punk's sister.
Yeah, special. Yeah, he was a John Cena fan.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, so that's part of it. I think that she didn't.
They didn't
do it right. You pause the music. It plays. You even play her music without her coming out for a little while. Play the video. Like, you just build it up right.
Well, the funny thing was, they played the music.
No matter what, it wouldn't have worked as well as Karma. But
I thought it was Michelle
more.
McCool.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. I didn't even recognize it. I'm like, I know that music. Whose is it?
I'm like, Michelle McCool.
I'm like,
I said Michelle McCool. No, it's Layla, because then she come out.
Well, I hear the music. For a couple seconds, I'm like, it's Kelly Kelly. Because I can't tell her music apart. It's so damn similar.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, oh, it's Kelly Kelly. That makes sense, sort of.
She was busy.
And then it was Layla, and I was like, oh, that makes... And so, anyways, during the match, there's a point where, I can't remember what happened, but you're like, oh, she's not winning it. And I'm like, no, she's winning it. And she did.
Yeah.
And the Bellas won't be there to ever get their comeuppance spot.
Well, maybe. They might be there tomorrow. Who knows, right? Maybe they'll do Karma beat the shit of them tomorrow. Who knows?
The thing is, they lose the belt, and they're eyeing her as they're going up the ramp. They don't have any reason to leave the company. At least storyline-wise, that they've given. Yeah, it'd be great, but I suspect if Karma wasn't there tonight, maybe she does show up and destroy them. But I suspect it means that she's not ready to come back full-time. So it's like, okay, you don't come back full-time. We need to create a swerve. We bring out Layla. She's healthy. She looked good. Bella's looked awful. She looked good. She looked good both physically and in the ring. She looked pretty good.
Karma's at her breastfeeding stage yet? Oh, wait.
That's not funny.
Yes, it is.
But the point is, Karma might be ready to come in for a one shot and destroy them, but not get the belt and be on the road again.
Yeah,
and that's why you could do this. So that's why you do this. You give it to Layla, and you still have Karma destroy them, get them out of there, and then you still don't have her come back for 3 more months. You have Beth versus Layla. Beth is still a heel. She gets the belt back, and then you have her against Karma. Book it,
or. Or, I mean, there's lots of, there's a couple ways that I would mind AJ with it, right? Psycho AJ, I don't mind still.
Depends,
but,
yeah.
You know.
Her work is awful.
But,
her work is terrible.
But then again,
if we're talking about
bulky.
If we're talking about that, though, there's only 2 or 3 women on the roster you're not going to say that about, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Bulky.
And Layla would be one of them, though.
That's true.
Layla's pretty good.
Yeah. So, that leads us to the main event of the evening.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Extreme Rules. Brock comes out in MMA gear.
Brock came out in MMA gear. They did not say, here comes the pain.
No.
The crowd was waiting for it. They were expecting Cena. Out came Brock instead. The crowd was opening up, split. Didn't stay that way.
Yeah. No.
Brock came out, and he looked like a killer. And this is probably the, we say Extreme Rules, an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
Literally, this is probably the most extreme match in three, four, 5 years. I'm trying to think of the last match they had that you would say was this extreme. Might have been Mick Foley and Edge. Like, it's been a long time since I see a match that I would consider this. Like, it really was. There was blood on both parties.
Yeah.
It was very physical. And
that opening elbow to the top of the head, it was just like...
Yeah, well, and that's it. Fuck. John Cena runs in to do professional wrestling, and Lesnar...
He legitimizes it.
Lesnar basically, does it.
You know what this kind of reminds me of?
Double leg takedown, gets on top of him, and Donkey Kongs him.
In hindsight, you know what this actually reminds me of, and I actually just thought of this now. The last time that Cena was this, if you want to say legitimate or over, or looked like he could hang, not, poopy
yeah,
Cena. Right?
Yeah.
Royal Rumble, Umaga.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what, it was more brutal than that. Don't get
it
me
was
wrong.
More brutal,
it was,
I know what you mean.
It was way more
as
brutal.
As far as the psychology of the match,
yeah.
It was very similar. It was this guy just beat the shit out of him,
but
he didn't
quit.
And it wasn't like they had that I Quit match with Cena, and I think it was Orton. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But where he's hitting him with the kendo stick, and he's tied up, and he wouldn't quit because he's a babyface.
Yeah.
But it's still fake.
It's a work, exactly, right?
This, much like that, Imago match didn't feel like it was a work, but it felt very, it felt like a fight.
Like a brutal, yeah. Like
yeah,
this
felt like more of a fight than just about anything. Like, there was points where you're going, okay, he's...
In many ways, I think this was a fight.
That's the thing. In many ways, this was a fight. This, and I'm not sure still if it's like Lesnar getting on top of him and Donkey Kong him in there, hitting with the elbow and busting open. I don't know if that was Lesnar just saying, just... I almost suspect it's like, they used to say this about Andre the Giant. I'll talk about this a little bit more next week, because I have some Andre the Giant stories from hanging out with the stars of the 80s
here. We'll talk about that pay-per-view, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into it. I'll tell one story.
Yeah.
The preview for next week, but basically... they used to say this about Andre. He brutalized guys.
Yeah.
And he would largely do it because he wanted them to know, if I wanted to, I could kill you in here.
Yeah.
So you respect me.
Yeah.
And that's what this felt like to me. Like Brock Lesnar saying, just so you know, if I wanted to, I could kill you.
Brock's
right now.
Facials were awesome. He
yeah.
had that, I am going to kill you look.
Yeah, yeah.
On his face. Like, to the
and
point
he,
where...
And whereas we talk about the work between Rock and Cena, whether or not they really like each other, and they seem to kind of like each other after all.
Yeah.
Brock and Cena just never really did see eye to eye. They are two totally different personalities.
Well, but to me, it was the point where I was looking at that going like, was that a shoot? Just from the look on Brock's face.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I know.
I like beating people up,
but
it's not a lot.
I know it's not, but it's like, I'm
but
looking
at
But
the elbow really
like,
was. And I don't know that, I don't know if Cena knew that elbow was coming.
I think he I think it was
not at that level. I think he might have been told, "Are you going to get this as the opening?" I don't think he expected like that was a shoot elbow because it was real work punches, and then he went to a real elbow and cut him.
Yeah,
and I don't think that I think so.
I think it's like, "Hey, we're going to cut you hard way. It's part of the match." Why
don't I don't know because they don't know.
So.
They can't guarantee that that's going to cut him either.
Wow,
you can't.
I think he might have.
And the cut was on the top of the head, and it was a lot of fucking
could
blood.
Could have a razor blade on him. I mean, you never know. I mean, not he didn't, but I mean, just as a backup, right? I don't know.
That's it, though. I mean, it's been a long time since we speculated on something like this.
At first,
it looked to me like he was really beating the shit out of him, just to let him know I could.
As we're watching it, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going, that might have been. But
and also because he was sitting there going, I'm going to make this look as real as possible and legit, and I don't care if I have to beat the guy to do it.
But in the end, but it takes two to tango, right? I'm going to make this look legit. Cena's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to make this look legit, too. So, yeah.
Well, he probably said to him, I'm going to be stiff as fuck with you out there,
just so you know.
He probably didn't say the exact words, I'm going to cut you open and hit you with the... But I'm going to be stiff as fuck with you
out
there.
Cena's
probably like, okay, bring it. Do it.
I could see Cena going, I want you to be stiff as fuck with me.
That's possible. That's very possible.
That's the way I actually sort of see it, is because as much as Brock doesn't really give a fuck in real life, he still kind of knows, because he's been there, the kind of, let's say the pecking order, to know enough that...
You don't really beat the guy up in the ring without...
And you really don't suggest
and what became,
that.
And, but the thing is, no, that's the thing. You don't suggest that. But
I'm not going to suggest beating the fuck out of you, but I can suggest you beating the fuck out of me.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. And Mick Foley would talk about that in his books. He'd go up to Vader and say, make it look as real as possible, and Vader would cut him the fuck open.
Yes.
you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. So it did come out like that, but it was good because at the beginning we're going, is he really beating the shit out of him?
Yeah.
Like, and it became obvious as the match went on that it was stiff as fuck.
Because there's nothing ever. Match,
yeah,
right?
It's obvious that it was a work, and it's the match as a whole. So I'm not sure that part was still a work. Still don't know. I'm not sure of that. But the match as a whole was a work, and there's no question it was just a really, really stiff match from that point.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome match. It's my favorite match of the year so far. I was like, this is so compelling because it feels like such a real fight.
You're right. Yeah,
gotten out of hand. Cena, this is what Cena's character needed. Cena's cut open and he's bleeding, and it's like that Steve Austin and the sharpshooter look and the blood coming down. Cena really was having to fight through some real pain and some real injury to keep going, even if it's a work of the match.
I talked about the opposite result.
Yeah.
And Cena going home.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Cena's going home.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, we look at.
Let's talk a little bit more about the match here because.
Okay. Well, we want to go through some of the highlights. I mean, that was it. Is that elbow bust moment that stops the match? He's bleeding.
Yeah.
They get back into it.
He punches him in the head. Cuts him open again.
Yeah, he cuts him open again, and the referee, like Charles Robinson, little Nietzsche, is there, and he's grabbing Brock and trying to, get him off.
A couple times they were checking for the blood, and I remember you saying, you don't like this. I'm like, I like this. And you're like, oh, they don't do this. And I'm like, they do this.
Well,
like, if there's a bad enough injury, they look at it, they wipe it off, and they continue to match.
I was the same as the Chicago crowd in that the first time, okay.
Yeah.
The second time, Third time, I'm like, fuck off. Just get on with this. And the crowd was the same way. They're bored.
I didn't mind.
I just thought, like, you know what? This isn't, it's a work.
Yeah.
So let's just see some goddamn action here.
Yeah.
Like
It might have been though more blood than they were comfortable with as well.
I don't care. That's not my problem. Doesn't mean I have to be entertained.
At least they didn't pull a Shelton Benjamin and
Christian. That's right.
Stop the match and actually staple them up in
that's
the middle
right.
of the ring.
That's right. I remember that was extreme. Literally.
Really stupid.
Yeah. But we get the steps get. Introduced by Brock Lesnar's foot.
Well, basically, the thing is,
on the steps and does a Kimura.
Well, you're forgetting
Michael
a couple.
Cole and Booker T both knew.
You're forgetting a couple key points. Number one,
never.
Yes, you are. Basically, Cena got in very little offense.
I remember that.
There was a couple points where there was one point where he's just getting the hell beat out of him, and Brock's just kind of laughing it up, and he's walking around the ring, and he comes over to Cena, and he's expecting Cena to be sitting there just dead, and instead Cena looks at him and does the "you can't see me" like a bring it way.
Well, there was the other point too where he's beating the shit out of Cena, and Cena's not really getting any offense back, and Brock's like laughing at him, and then he looks at him, and Cena looks up at him and does the "you can't see me."
There was that. There's a point where Cena finally was like, screw it, and he stood up, fired off like 5-6 really stiff-looking punches and elbows and stuff from the row. Lesnar had some cut at the top of the head or ear.
It was hard to tell if he was cut at first or if it was just like
it was a cut,
sweat and Cena's blood, but yeah, then it started to kind of drip down, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was a point where he jumped over the rope.
That's where I was going with the steps being introduced. That's the lead into that because he runs and jumps on over the steps and tries to. I don't know what the fuck he was.
No, it looked to me like he was trying to body check him from the top of the rope over to the barricade because Cena was on the outside rope.
Yeah,
and I thought he was jumping, trying to hit him.
I thought
hip check him and but stay inside the ring. Instead he jumped too high.
Yeah,
flew over. Cena went flying still. Lesnar landed on his knee, got up limping. You're like, oh, fuck, he's fucked.
Well, he's rolling around on his knee, and I'm like, oh, shit, his knee is hurt. And he thought his knee was hurt, too, and he's hugging the ring post to try to get up, and I was like...
Once he tested it a little bit, he's like, okay.
It was clearly a fucked up spot, right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
So I was like, shit, I'm like... Because we went from the brutality of Lesnar beating the shit out of, like, elbowing him for real. I mean, whether it was a worked-out spot or not, he still fucking busted him open by elbowing him in the fucking head.
Yeah.
And then this, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is getting fucking, this is getting real.
Well, that's the thing. Like I say, at this point, I compared it to that Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle
Creed
fight, where they were doing spots that were obviously,
the King of the Ring.
Yeah, they're doing spots that are obviously rehearsed, but they're kind of fucked up and it's so stiff that the injuries are getting real.
Three times through the glass.
That wasn't even the only one. Those were the worst. But that match as overall, it's like, just felt uncomfortable because it started to get too, it felt too dangerous. And this match had started to get that feel to it. But Lesnar got up, and pretty soon he's limping, and he's like, I'm hurting, and he's laughing. He's like, I love it. I love the pain, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's dancing around, you know, and he's smiling. And
he's taking Cena's blood. He wipes it on his chest, and he licks a little bit of it. Now we get to the submission maneuver.
The deadly submission maneuver?
That's it, because I can't remember what it was.
Well, it was a Kimura.
That's it.
Right? He played the Kimura.
I thought it was the Darkstroke.
Booker T and... Brock Lesnar both knew the Kimura. And
which is where we went, it's got to be a work, because they wouldn't know it otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. He's putting it, they're putting the Kimura on top
that
of
it. That said, he looked to me like he was cranking the fuck out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that may be the shoulder.
Yeah.
Right? That might be the auspices for that, for the Cena shoulder injury as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was what was sold for the rest of the match, was Cena basically picked him up one arm and dropped him onto the steps, and it was impressive looking, because he's doing it with bad leverage and everything. I know Brock was holding on to make it look, help him. But it still looked really cool. But, for the rest of the match, he had to go without that shoulder. He never moved that arm against
He had the arm kind of stable.
And again, it's like Brock looked like he was cranking on it and it was part of the match. But he might have legit hurt him or worked hurt him. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
And we may, who knows when we'll know, if we know.
Well, there was a couple ref bumps, Brock goes for the same tackle that he hurt his knee on. He goes for it again.
Yeah.
And Cena grabs the chain and whacks Brock in the face.
Yeah, and even though it's a plastic chain, he hit him hard.
Yeah.
And then throws it down, and it wouldn't have felt pleasant.
Yeah, and then Lesnar was busted over his eye, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of hard way, and then FUs him and wins. Right?
Yeah, Cena FUs him onto the steps. Remember I said that we see how dedicated Lesnar is, because you can't really remember a lot of really stiff shots he ever took.
Right.
He took some that F5 onto that steps for a guy who had
diverticulitis.
That's it. That was a hell of a, that would not feel good. And when Brock got up and kind of walks out of the ring, and he's like, he's acting like he's punch drunk.
Yeah.
And it's like half work, half real.
Yeah.
That was a physical. That physical
fucking
match.
The front
rower
in the dead.
Oh, that was awesome.
Was
tell
awesome.
Him about that.
And Lesnar, I don't know, he was about to heckle Lesnar or something. I think he might have got half a heckle out or something.
Well,
Lesnar
was pulling himself up. He's pulling himself up by the barricade.
Yeah.
And he put his hand on Lesnar's hand.
Yeah.
And Lesnar pulled it back and stood up and looked at him. And the guy
just pulled
jumped
his
back.
And
you've
like,
never
fuck.
Seen.
Yeah, yeah.
You have never literally seen a person shit themselves live on TV before.
Again.
Like, this was crazy.
The story is come to kind of fruition is that Brock Lesnar is a legitimate professional wrestler at this point.
Yeah.
You know, he's a legitimate WWE superstar.
Yeah.
Right? Or ass kicker, whatever you
want
to call him. But that's what he is. He says, I want to legitimize this. Brock Lesnar still has that legitimate aura.
For sure.
And so, and it was never, more apparent than with that fan there. And so
you still know in a real
fight
he can beat everybody.
Even
you know he
can
beat everybody in that locker room.
I was more upset with the loss than you.
I didn't mind it.
Fuck, here we go again. And then they cut the promo.
Tell about the promo.
Well, like it looked like, Cena's going around and he's raising his one arm because he's not using the other arm. And I thought, okay, well, this is,
selling.
Fine. And
but
he's selling,
I had
Brock
a feeling
is selling, something. Crawling up and down. And then Cena asked for the microphone.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing is, for usually, like there was a point where Cena got up to the second ropes and raises the one arm up and the crowd's cheering. And the crowd was really behind him by the end.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Because this reminded me of the Randy Orton, Mick Foley match in Edmonton, the Backlash match.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, he got legitimized because he really went through something here.
Yes.
And that's kind of what this felt like to me.
Well,
Randy
Orton
holds his arm up and he's on the second rope, and that's normally where they cut it, and they didn't. And then he walked around a little more, and I'm like, okay, something's happening.
Well, then he has the microphone. And,
what were you saying about Randy, though, before?
Well, I was saying Randy Orton was legitimized by Mick Foley and Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
You know, in that summer.
Yeah.
Is really what it was. He went through a street fight, and then he went through a hard-nosed, tough wrestling match. And that's really what, both in Canada, Toronto and Edmonton.
Yeah, and that's the thing. John Cena here kind of, in some ways, carried The Rock in a match, and then he had a real, real physical bout here, and he feels more legit. And I'm saying this is what the character needed. He's that phony John Cena wasn't there, and even this promo that he cuts.
Well,
was
see,
not
now
there.
This is where I turned on it, or this is where I turned
in a good way.
Because I was negative on this, and that's where I went positive. Because he cut the promo, and I mean, it was obviously a work promo. I mean, we quite frankly now, when they're talking about at the Vince McMahon shareholder conference call, said WWE Films would have an announcement forthcoming about who the new star of the Marine is. Well, we just found it.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be taking some time off.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because they want to reboot this franchise and blah, 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 so they can put Cena in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he's saying he's got the shoulder. Now, I mean, because it was obviously completely 100%, you know, he's talking about, well, I'm going to get in trouble for doing this. No, you're not. Like, fuck. You're talking about phony Cena. Well, okay. But Cena has this blood.
Yeah.
And Cena has this, and he panders to the crowd saying this was an honor to
do
this.
But it didn't feel like, he pandered to the crowd, but it didn't feel phony. It felt like, to me, it felt like, you know what, Chicago's a great wrestling city. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fuck. You know, I'm the owner is probably going to, you know, when I'm speaking
that part
with him,
yeah, whatever.
You,
the blood in there.
But, I mean, the reality is you've got
he obviously gave for the fans, though, and then he said, we give for the fans every night.
Yeah,
and
we give
the thing
for
is
the
he
fans
did.
Every night, big, small, distance.
But he did. He really gave for
us. Cocksuckers, all of us. We do.
He really did. We're not talking about your mom. Mm-hmm. He really did give, you know, for the fans, to the fans this night, because he took some serious fucking shit.
Your mom, then. No, but I think that the thing is that, I don't know, come off thing, but I don't mind it. It did come off phony. But the reality is that this is, he had the whole crowd behind him in Chicago, just totally behind him at the end. Right? The crowd, I mean, they're like, listen to this. And the crowd was going fucking nuts after he hit him with the chain.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, great.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, well, his whole thing was, and this was also, fucking retarded phony part. Well, this is my last match ever. If I've got to go out forever.
No, he didn't say ever.
He did. He said, if I have to go out.
If I have to go out.
This is a hell of a way to go out.
That's open-ended, though. If I have to go out.
But going
and
out.
And then as he's leaving the ring and some guy says to him, what's wrong? He says, it's torn.
I think it's torn, yeah.
So that just means you're out. It means you're out for a while. For eight months, 3 months, whatever.
It
didn't come. I never thought he's saying he's gone forever. I just thought he's saying, this is an injury. I'm not going to be back right away.
Anyway, the fact that he's gone for
it's
whatever
good.
Is, that's where I liked, the result.
Yeah.
Of the match didn't matter.
No. Well, to me, it's even better. It's like the Triple H Undertaker. This guy won the match. This guy won the war. But they have to settle it again because of that.
Yeah, and neither one will be around for a year. But,
but it is. It's the same thing as that rematch. It's the same idea.
Oh,
now you have Brock Lesnar pissed off that he lost, and he destroys everybody in the company until Cena comes back, however long that is.
Yes.
And when he comes back, he's the guy who stood up to him, but he was injured, but he did beat him, and he wants him again. They want each other again, and you got money. You know, it's
Survivor
perfectly laid out
at this point.
Yeah, and there maybe Lesnar wins if he's going to face the Rock, or maybe you set up a rubber match for Mania. You can go a lot of ways, but I like it. I think this is a tremendous match. And I'm excited to see where they're going with. Nothing else has me excited after the show. I'll be excited if Christian and CM Punk have a feud because I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
But nothing else. I mean, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus had a good match. I'm sure they'll face each other again because there was a disqualification in one of the falls, and I'm sure you'll have another one.
Over the
and
limit.
And he's awesome. But, yeah, I mean, what I'm waiting for is to see what goes with this, and it might take a little while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you have Brock destroy everybody else, like Randy Orton or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the company except for Cena. and then he comes back. It's a perfect story, and he still came across like the monster. He still came across like this guy is scary. He is scary.
Well, I will.
Cena beat him, but Cena paid the price.
The thing is, I will say this much is that Brock Lesnar did enough that the next time Brock Lesnar is on pay-per-view, I want to see it.
Especially if he acts even more pissed off and more dangerous building up to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right?
That's what you show the highlight videos of, is him destroying Cena.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, again, that shouldn't happen at Over the Limit.
No, fuck no, it shouldn't. And it won't. I didn't get the
feeling. Yeah, it won't.
No. I don't think
Extreme
he has that many.
Extreme Rules.
Yeah, well, but it was coming off Mania with the, and you
Extreme
had the momentum
Rules.
Of Mania, you had the momentum of the signing, that's different. I think the difference is, and you wanted to see what you could get out of it. The other thing is, he only has that many, only has a few shots, right? He doesn't have that many shots. And, you know, I think they're going to sell it like, even though he's not gone for however long, I think they're still going to sell it like it took the toll on Cena and Lesnar too for a couple.
I was going to say you do have to do that the way he was basically crawling up the ramp.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got to come back first, obviously.
Obviously, way first,
so.
And then destroy everybody. You know.
Yeah. So on his war path and on route to Cena, right?
Yeah.
I mean that's the. Yeah, I agree. I mean that seems to be. It's a good story.
It's a good story.
So,
it's an excellent story.
And, and who knows? I mean...
But the problem is, how do you have him destroy everybody and keep him away from Punk and keep that title reign?
Could we actually see a decent Survivor Series buy rate, finally?
If they do this right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, they could.
I know,
they're
right?
Huge.
Well,
even if it's SummerSlam.
Well,
even
know,
if it's SummerSlam.
No, I say SummerSlam is Orton still.
Well, yeah, I would prefer that. But
yeah.
Even if it is, if it's
well,
done right.
The thing is that they do it at Survivor Series because it's at DC Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So if his Twitter fans tell him to fight John Cena at Survivor Series.
Oh, there you go. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Well, finally, he'd want that match then.
Done.
Or a team with him, actually.
Buys.
Yeah.
But no,
it's good. It's good. I really, that match sold the pay-per-view for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a
fun. I enjoyed this pay-per-view more than WrestleMania because of that match. Because,
yeah,
like, it's my favorite match
of
the year.
I say so, too. Yeah, actually. And I think that
it didn't start strong.
But
it finished last half. Once Sheamus and Bryan came out, pretty good stuff.
Sheamus, Bryan, Punk, Jericho was, I mean, both were better, obviously, than Mania. Well, 18 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both were obviously better than Mania.
There was some 18 seconds.
Orton
chance,
and Kane was better than WrestleMania as well. I mean, it's what set the world on fire, but it was better than WrestleMania.
But it was 2.25 stars compared to 1.25 stars.
Yeah, but
or
better.
Or 2 stars
I'm just
compared to 1.25.
I like
not
better
agree.
Than WrestleMania. I'm kind of just breaking it down, and even main event aside, which, I mean, I agree with you, I did enjoy this more than WrestleMania. The other thing, I mean, with WrestleMania was being 4 hours.
Yeah.
Was just, for what they had, was just too much.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing this was missing Heath Slater.
Oh, Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Okay.
similar wavelength.
Are
there.
We sure he hasn't been arrested after this year's WrestleMania?
No. Where is...
Where is Heath Slater?
I mean, that's why the karma hasn't come back yet.
Yeah, there you go.
But
you go.
Somebody not coming back anytime soon, at least not for the next 60 days. Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y. R-E-Y in FedEx.
What did I say, R-E-O?
R-E-O
Speedwagon. It's not coming back in 60 days.
R-E-O Speedwagon because he was taking amphetamines.
There you go.
It works.
Yeah, no, he's being suspended. I didn't know...
amphetamines.
I didn't know when he's on rehab. For his knee, that kind of rehab, that he could be suspended. But,
I guess the way that the story goes is they called Ray recently because I guess he came when he was in California. They had he showed up and that's when they're like, "Hi, pee in the cup," so he did. And
he had no idea to think that he was.
Yeah. And then they called him.
This sounds like Alistair Overy.
And they said, except for he wasn't running away, hopping into a car.
That's
trying
true.
To speed away.
True.
But they did say that...
he didn't blame it on bat-horned horse meat.
Then they asked... he's Mexican. in their burritos. But then they asked Ray, when could you come back? Like, when do you think you'll be ready to come back? And he said, June.
Yeah.
And then they called him back and they said... Well, you can make that July, You've been suspended for 60 days.
Yeah.
But
when was his first one? That was the pharmacy thing, right? That.
No,
not the pharmacy thing.
That was last summer, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was longer than that.
Remember when he had that contract dispute?
Yeah.
And so they suspended him?
Yeah.
But the fact is that he was busted for amphetamines, and he's back in July. Speaking of July, and along this same goddamn motherfuck wavelength,
mm-hmm.
here in Calgary for the Prairie Wrestling Alliance, Lance Storm is going to be fighting another fucking retard, Chavo Guerrero.
Who was also twice suspended.
Yeah, twice suspended. Yeah, what's his name? Chavo what?
Guerrero! Yes, and
Eddie Guerrero is fucking dead.
Yeah.
He's fucking dead.
Yeah.
And his fucking nephew, and apparently his fucking brother, cousin, best friend, motherfuck, Rey Mysterio Oscar motherfuck, can't get off any fucking drugs that killed their fucking best friend.
Yeah, that is sad.
Fuck!
That's horrible.
It's retarded.
It is.
It's Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's fucking sitting beside goddamn CM Punk's sister is what it is. This is like...
Or us at SmackDown.
Staring at... Like, it's like... Fuck. Like, you know what? I my sister was shot in the face, so I become an arms dealer.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No,
it's
you're right.
It's unfathomable. Is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even put it into words because it's just, it's such a level of stupidity.
But what if it was for marijuana?
What do you mean, for marijuana?
If he was suspended for marijuana and not painkillers and steroids?
Well, it's different. I would grant you that's different because there
we don't know, right?
Well, it's amphetamines.
It is? Oh, it is.
He's been busted for amphetamine.
Yeah,
that's what he was taking.
That's sad as hell.
He's taking drugs, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fucked. I mean, and again, and Chavo Guerrero was not fired / suspended twice for pot. And I mean,
not in that era, no.
No, and I agree with you that it's different. It shouldn't be different, but again, there's no link to pot killing someone. And pot didn't kill Eddie Guerrero. You know, the enlarged heart from the painkillers, the drugs, did.
Steroids and painkillers.
Steroids, painkillers, a whole fucking cocktail of it killed Eddie Guerrero, right? Contributed to killing Chris Benoit. And let's be fucking serious about it for a minute, Lance Storm aside. I watched The Bash at the Beach, Psychosis, and Rey Mysterio in 1996. And then I fast-forwarded, and I watched John Cena and Rey Mysterio that day after Money in the Bank title, and, like, Rey Mysterio has probably an extra 100 pounds of muscle on him.
Yeah, he's much... Know. He's not as big as he was at his biggest in the WWE.
Yeah.
But he is still way bigger than he was.
Well,
Rey was 145 pounds when he was in... when he was in WCW, was what he was billed at. I think that was probably legit. I think it probably was about 145.
Yeah.
And I think he's being billed at 160, 165, 175. He's probably 165 now. He probably was at one point 175.
He's midget Davey Boy Smith, is what he is.
Yeah, he is. He's
midget Davey Boy Smith.
And it is. But maybe it talks more about the industry as a whole.
Well,
maybe it talks more about the failure of the drug test company or what they're doing to help these people. But at the end of the day, at some point in time, you have to put the onus on responsibility for your own actions. And Chavo and Oscar.
Yeah.
Mo.
Yeah. Mabel.
But Rey and Chavo, you know what, it's pathetic. And we're going to see Chavo here. I'd be surprised if he's being a clean, you know, then if you hear about this, like, I don't know, but it's hard to believe he's clean since he's left the WWE then.
Well, but I mean, it's awful.
It is. It's terrible.
Like
it's really terrible.
If you didn't...
But then again, you look at Scott Hall, right? Scott Hall has every reason in the world to clean up his life and hasn't.
Scott Hall, I look at Scott
maybe
Hall...
Maybe he's more diseased than these fellows, but maybe they're more diseased than we know.
Scott Hall is, you know, kind of the Eddie Guerrero, almost, in this, though. I mean, like, Scott Hall should be a reason that X-Pac cleans up his life.
That's true.
And that Shawn Michaels has found God, and that, you know, Kevin Nash may clean up his life, and, you know, Hunter, like, you know, like, his PJ, for fuck's sakes, found passed out in the hallway or whatever. Just Incredible.
The unofficial member of the clique.
At the Extreme Reunion show or whatever, right? I mean, but, I mean, that's... Scott, to me, Scott Hall is the tragedy here. He's not... I think
like I say, he's diseased,
he's
so there's no
deep.
Question. He is diseased.
He's in too
deep. It is a disease, and he is diseased. But like I say, maybe these fellas are also, and we just don't know it. And maybe it's almost, maybe we'll find out right now that we, 10 years from now, that some of these guys that look like they've turned their life around in the WWE, and it doesn't look like this is the party lifestyle, maybe we'll find out that they still have troubles. I mean, it's really...
You're right.
You
but
know,
I mean, again, it's, I just look at it from a practicality. I mean...
No,
at
some point
in
time, responsibility
aside,
has to take, you have to take responsibility.
Industry aside, these are human beings, and when your uncle and someone you think of as a brother dies mm-hmm. of something, and you just keep
well,
doing...
Well, and Chris Benoit, like you say, who was also very close to them.
Yeah. If they die of that, and you just keep doing that, you know, I'm at the point with Ray, when he comes back from the 60 days, if I'm WWE... I'm telling you, if I'm Vince McMahon and I'm the head of that company, I'm not pushing him,
mm-hmm.
but I'm featuring him on television. I've got him in a we did the whole, you know, talk about guys that can't get clean. We've got Sin Cara. I said you throw them together as I wrote in that
that's what you
that
said.
Blog.
I said I'd put them together with Evan Bourne. That makes even more sense
way,
now.
Right? Yeah. But, I mean, I just put them together with Sin Cara to sell as, you know what, sell as many masks of Rey Mysterio as you can before he dies in 5 years.
Yeah.
Just bleed him dry at this point.
Yep.
Do it. And that's it. If I'm Vince
what's even scarier, to a large degree, what's even scarier than to me is we see Eddie Guerrero's daughter in FCW. We've seen Rey's son on television.
Dominic.
And I think we'll see him follow in the footsteps.
Scott Hall's kid, right?
Scott Hall's kid has talked many times about, yeah.
Well, he is. He's training.
He's training.
Yeah,
he wants to, you know.
He hasn't given that up yet.
Yeah, and that's scary. That's scary.
It is. Know. I mean, you look at, Cody Rhodes, right? You look at, you got some of the examples there. But, I mean, it's a situation where, you know,
we do look at Cody Rhodes, and we look at Goldust, who's had his issues.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Black Rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking, we talked a little bit about Scott Hall. $75,000, bought a home July of 2011 in Florida. Hasn't made a payment since December. Or supposed to apparently pay the full amount back come December. It's in foreclosure because he's never made a payment. Apparently doesn't live there anymore, obviously.
Hold on. You can buy houses in Florida for $75,000. $1,000?
Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, no, that's not even a... That part didn't even faze me. Oh, yeah, that's...
It's like one-tenth of what it
is. Oh, yeah, we're,
here.
We're sitting in a $350,000 house right here, and this ain't anything special. We're in the gallery, right? So, in the palatial studios.
It is
golden
special.
Crusted,
golden
it?
Crusted?
Yes,
golden crusted.
Yes,
diamond.
Crusted.
Diamond crusted. Yeah.
It's right there.
It's right there.
So, yeah, it was $75,000 on a house foreclosing. They're going to, the bank or whatever.
How did this qualify for a house loan? Mm-hmm. I thought they learned their lesson down there and didn't just give it to anybody.
I'll quote another guy that you had the pleasure of meeting this weekend. Well, I had to fucking work. USA! USA! No, they don't. Their banking system is way different than ours here in Canada. So
yeah, it obviously doesn't make any sense. This guy,
obviously.
When's the last time? When was it he was working for? 2011, he purchased this. It's 2012.
July
was,
of 2011. So,
okay, so when was he working for TNA?
That was the 2010, wasn't it? January 4th, 2010, was it not? Or was
probably.
It 2009? When was the Brett, it was Bret Hart was opposite to lead to that mania. So how many manias have we had?
My thing is, this guy should have the money.
Three manias.
Certainly
ago.
To
so
pay.
2000 and, no, four manias ago, because we've had 202, so that would have been 2009, yeah.
Okay, but either way, you're right, that was before
you
were,
how to do the math.
That was before you were in this golden palatial house, and back when you were in the whore palatial, whore-encrusted house, with, in that, wasn't that what?
Was that I stayed with my sister, actually, at that point.
Were you?
In between. I moved out of the outhouse and into the penthouse.
Oh, you were staying with your sister, not the ex. Yeah. Your sister's also kind of a slut. Anyways.
Kinda.
Yeah. But what we're saying...
She goes to take her pie out.
We're watching WrestleMania. Tell the story. You got to tell the story.
Well, you started to.
No,
my sister, the captain of cuisine here, we're at her house. We've had whatever we ate, pizza or something, and probably we're watching WrestleMania at my sister's house. And my sister had, like, an apple pie that she got at, like, the Safeway or whatever. And my sister doesn't fucking cook a lick. And she's going to put the apple pie into the oven. And she wants to know. She said, do I take it out of this foil plate and put it in the oven? And we're like, what? Do I take it out of the foil? And I wasn't that hungry anymore, so I almost said yes. But her fiancé is there, and he's like, no! Just fucking no! And, yes, that was a, so yeah, I still ask my sister that, if we're going to have, like, if we're out for, like, a family dinner and we're going to have, like, pie.
Because I have had pie.
Yeah.
With your sister, where we've cut it from the foil.
Yes. Yes.
No, you
yes.
don't take it out and put it back in.
Yes. No, I've had pie with your sister, too.
Yeah?
No foil.
No foil?
No foil.
No?
No.
No? Whipped cream?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Dulls the taste.
Exactly. Whipped cream and not cherry. Fish?
Whip it good. But yes, I was just trying to think of, is there any more tragedies we can talk about here? We talked about Scott Hall. We talked about the last quarter. Don't we talk about which?
You could talk about the last quarter.
Well, I could. Well, we'll save that, I think. But with Just Incredible as well, the Extreme Reunion. Extreme Reunion, Shane Douglas show.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, they found Just Incredible passed out on the floor of a locker room, and they sent him home. And he come back later. This was in the afternoon. He come back later that night. He's like, "Oh, can I work now?" They're like, "No."
Yeah, that also happened with Sabu, though, didn't it?
Well, no, Sabu apparently had an allergic reaction to some medication or something.
Okay,
somebody spiked something probably. But
he's Sabu.
That's Sabu, man. But he, anyway, he checked into the hospital. Apparently, he's, like, unconscious and fucked, and it's, like, keeping your thoughts and prayers. Yeah, this morning, he checked himself out, saying, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Who knows? So that tragedy. somebody that was, I was in a Jeep, and it rolled 10 times. Actually, the Buff Bagwell in a... quite a serious car wreck, I guess, is his Jeep rolled 8 or 9 times. He was in had a feeding tube. Apparently, they took the feeding tube out this morning or last night. It was either yesterday or this morning I was reading this. They took it out. He's eating some.
What caused
now,
the accident?
Was he impaired? No.
Speeding?
No. Who's that jumping out the sky? He was telling his wife before he got into the car that he thought he might be having a seizure. And then he drove and he probably had a seizure.
Because I think everything he's done to his body.
That's right.
Certainly.
Dig it.
Yeah.
You know. Same thing, right? I mean, so this is it. I mean, but again, when you look at these things.
It's been a long time since we talked about somebody dying too young.
It hasn't happened, you know. Randy Savage was probably the last major name, and we're sadly to say with the Death Watch thing that we see, you know, we're really poised for one, as sad as it sounds. But we really, you know, it's
yeah, that's certainly what it feels like now. And that's yeah, we don't. I don't want to.
You know, we're getting a bunch of near scares. No, we don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want to think about it. But that's the, you know.
I mean, no, we don't. I mean, we once jokingly were texting each other Deathpool, and I was pissed off that you got China. But honestly, right. We don't want it.
No.
China, by the way, in the upcoming, of course, the Avengers is set to open up next Friday.
Yes.
And in Avengers XXX, she will be playing the She-Hulk.
Nice.
She's in a Royal Rumble movie, apparently. I didn't know. It was actually a 12-man gangbang. Well, 13
really?
If you
Oh, I did. I heard this.
Did I tell you? Yeah. Yeah, she'll be playing the She-Hulk.
I think you're right the first time. The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So She-Hulk and the Avengers XXX. So everybody check that out, especially the kids.
Yes, all you kids out there, all you John Cena fans.
Yeah.
Check that out. We'll get some, I don't want to say better news because it doesn't involve, well, it is better news because it doesn't involve real human tragedy, but not good news for this film. Tough Enough winner, Andy Levine, quietly released couple weeks ago, news just coming out this past week.
He was released because he wasn't progressing, or was he released also because of drugs?
No, he was released. He did have a wellness suspension, but he was released officially because he wasn't progressing, but he did have one strike against him.
You know, Steve Austin was entertaining on that show, but Jesus Christ, what a shitty talent pool.
What are you talking about? The dancer.
Oh, yeah.
The first one. The one that said Cameron. Not Tracy and Nadine.
Oh.
The one that said that the Alicia Fox Melina match was her favorite WWE match
of
all time.
Yeah, she's still there.
She's still a
good dancer.
She's hot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a joke that they say that, you know, it's a running joke. But, I mean, really, I mean, she is a good dancer and she's hot. So, I mean, that is a role for her.
Yeah, but that's true. But as this Brodus thing starts to maybe go away and the signs are pointing in that direction now, I don't know that this will be around a year from now.
Yeah. Then what, right?
Then right. Then nobody.
Well, then the other one, Nadine, there, she's apparently the best athlete.
Yeah, she's apparently a very good wrestler. So
but, you know, well, no, she's not a good wrestler. She's a good athlete.
Okay.
The problem was that the other Tough Enough, the other female Tough Enough winner, they're the same one that won with Jackie Gata, that Linda Miles was a very good athlete as well.
But she didn't like wrestling. She didn't understand it at all. She hated it.
Yeah.
She was a great athlete, but she was a
cunt.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She was Dixie Carter had nothing on her.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, let's talk a little TNA.
Yeah, Impact.
Impact.
The end of May.
Yeah.
Going to be moving to 8 Eastern from 9 Eastern. So here in Calgary, it's going to go from 7:00 to 6:00. They're moving up an hour earlier, feeling that they're going to get the jump on some other sports, some other programming that's against them, that they're going to kind of get a jump on it. So that's going to happen. I believe it's the end of May.
It's a good move.
It's a
good move.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't see how it hurts. It'll hurt for a little while because people won't find them, but not for long.
Well, the only thing that I see with it is that, again, they're still... Where WWE... They're not beating us over the head with the PG, and hell, they certainly weren't tonight, but they are still a more edgier product, if you want to say.
But they're not as edgy as they were.
They weren't with Russo, no.
No.
But,
or even a year ago, they probably weren't as edgy as they
were. That's true. But there are things at 8:00 that you can't do it, or at 9:00 that you can do that at 8:00 you can't. So, I mean... Maybe that doesn't matter at this point. Maybe that's
I'm
the
not
point.
Sure it matters.
Maybe
because,
that's the point that they're doing this. But that is, I mean...
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think it matters, because the WWE was still a PG product when they were really, really raunchy, too, for a long time. And nobody's really paying attention to them.
They were selling Stone Cold lollipops.
Yeah. Nobody was really paying attention. Nobody's really paying attention to TNA.
It's true.
And they continue the TV M radio, or the TV-14, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that Spike, or I believe it was on Spike TV, ECW was on here. It was also the same start time as what you're talking about now.
God, it was even earlier. I think it was on ECW on TNN was on at 5 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and that was TVM, so I don't know.
Rock
really
and Bowl
it.
Was on at after.
Oh, yeah, that was brilliant.
Yes, I know. But I'm trying to think of, we talked about TNA, Al Snow.
He was the lead judge, I understand.
The head judge.
What?
Head.
He was the head judge?
What does everybody want?
Nice.
But, yes. But, I mean, again, playing off is tough enough, you know,
he's evaluating the new talent.
And that's a perfect kind of role for him because he's got that, I mean, whether he is or he isn't, he's got that kind of on-screen... legitimacy Al Snow, that makes sense. Sure, he did that Tough Enough stuff, so he's a good judge of talent, or he can judge. You know, that's fine. You know, he brought us Maven. Great. You know, speaking of tragedy,
he's in rehab right now.
I think so, probably, with Tomko. But, I don't know. So anyway, he lost to Robbie E, the Ohio Valley guy. Was it Alex Silva? Was that his name?
I don't recall. I didn't get a chance to watch it like I wanted to. I still might. But I did just get a chance to read about it. I can't recall the name.
So, but that's the deal. They've announced four matches for this Impact that's going to be taping, I think tomorrow maybe. They're going to do a pick your poison. So Rob Van Dam gets to pick Bobby Roode's opponent. Bobby Roode gets to pick Rob Van Dam's opponent.
I hate those. I hate those.
Yeah, I think they're retarded as well. But, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I didn't mind them at first because they were new. And it was like, oh, okay.
I never liked it. But
I just thought, you know what, it was a different. And again, it was WWF on Raw where they were going through an era in, I think they started doing it about maybe 2003 or so. Matches didn't mean anything on TV.
Yeah, I guess.
So it did allow, it gave them a match anyway. But,
I mean, it's like, okay, if you have a hated babyface and a hated whatever, a hated heel, hated babyface and hated heel. The hated heel picks a tough opponent for the babyface. Why wouldn't the babyface always just pick himself? Because he wants to beat the shit out of that heel.
Yeah, that's well. That I mean, if you could do the stipulation where you could pick anybody but yourself, let's
okay.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but that's a way around it.
Sure, that's all right, yeah.
You got AJ Styles.
But you came up with that in 2 seconds. It would take them how long?
I know. They still haven't.
Yeah.
So AJ, Samoa Joe, and Magnus against Kurt Angle, Daniels, and Kazarian.
Mm-hmm.
So nice to see Kurt Angle healed from his Olympic trials.
And Kazarian, did you say?
Yes.
Did I mention I didn't talk to him this weekend?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like everyone else.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, it's not Virgil.
All by myself.
Virgil was there, and he was.
That's awesome.
Curly, I prefer calling him Curly Bill.
Yes, West Curly Texas Bill. West Texas Rednecks.
That's, if I had talked to him, that's how I would have.
I guess, yeah. No shit. Move out of the way, Bill. Fucker.
Do you remember when you fixed my furnace about a month ago?
Yeah, that's right. Where's my bike? Gail Kim and Madison Rain fighting Velvet Sky and Brooke Tessmacher, so really a nothing match. They're also building Flair and Hogan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know, right? So the more things change, the more things stay the fucking same, right? So Flair and Hogan,
so much.
Flair and Hogan, big stars of the 1980s. And
true.
I'll segue that nicely to you had an opportunity because there was the Calgary, what was it, Entertainment Expo?
Calgary Entertainment and Comic Expo, down there for We Talk. We Talk podcasts, getting some stuff for the various shows because we've kind of expanded that a little bit, got a lot of stuff going on there. And, of course, we got a couple of the wrestling interviews. Jason Snake Roberts was down there. I talked to him. I'm not sure the audio on that one's going to come out. If it doesn't, I'll just give everybody the highlights. He was something else. There's also a panel they did. It was Jake Roberts, Honky Tonk Man, and Ted DiBiase. Take
I like panels.
Through.
You know why? Because you know how you spell panel?
How?
P-anal.
Your mom also likes my P-anal. But anyways, it was great. This panel was the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So I will give the highlights of that. If I can't get that, we weren't able to tape, but somebody did.
Right.
They're trying to get the audio for that.
Cool.
If we can't, I'm going to give the highlights myself because there's a lot of incredible stories there. And then I did talk also to Hacksaw. I know the audio quality on that one is good.
Good.
And Honky Tonk Man.
Cool.
So we'll have the highlights from those, and we'll give those up next week. So we'll give the stories and the whole thing. We'll kind of go through it a little bit more next week, but we're going to have some interviews with these fellas. Virgil was also there. I did not talk to him.
Really?
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase there.
Virgil, Ted DiBiase declined the interview.
There was some cunts at, from what, Saskatchewan? Shaw, Saskatchewan?
Probably shouldn't give the name, but yeah, there was some
fuck
people. People, they conducted interviews with these guys right before me, and they were
Cousins
completely
Mary.
and they were complete pricks about it, and they didn't want to be there, obviously, didn't respect the wrestlers, and they didn't want to do any interviews after that. So it took a while to smooth things over, and Ted, they kind of played the, you know, I don't really know the podcast, unfortunately.
He was a heel.
Well, the thing is, and he's actually employed still by the WWE, whereas other guys aren't.
They got to clear their interviews.
They do have to clear their interviews.
To clear the interview through the office with us. So that makes sense.
That makes sense. I didn't really blame him for that. It was unfortunate because I wanted to not talk to him. I was disappointed. So hopefully we have three interviews for you, and hopefully the panel audio. But guaranteed we have Hacksaw. You guys are going to love this Hacksaw interview. It was awesome. And you all know how great an interview Honky Tonk Man is.
Yes.
And, of course,
Hacksaw, talk about your mom.
no, but I did get some pictures with the guys, too. We'll put that up on the website,
cool.
too. So good stuff, and I'll just give a quick story for the panel. Just like basically just you get up there, and somebody would ask a question because it was open to the audience, Q&A.
Right.
Somebody would ask a question,
like
and the guys would go, I have a story on that. And then that guy, oh, I have a story based on your story, right?
Right.
And it was just unbelievable. And then some of them, they're feuding sort of with each other, and you can't tell if it's a work or not. And it's great, and Jake Roberts was incredible. I'm pretty sure he was high.
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure he was. He was unbelievable.
I wasn't even
bitter.
There. Jake Roberts was high.
He was bitter. He was funny. He kept cursing. Nobody else would.
There's
a lot of kids in the room.
There's somebody in Indiana listening to this right now. He knows that he's high.
Yeah, it was something else. So here's a great story. So Ted DiBiase told this one. He's like, do you guys remember when we had we went to it was Wendy's with King Kong Bundy. He's like, and we all ordered, we sat down, and King Kong Bundy went up, and he goes, I'll get 3 cheeseburgers, 3 large fries, 2 milkshakes, and a Diet Coke.
Nice.
That was awesome.
See, I would have thought he would have demanded 5.
5 Diet Cokes. Like, it was awesome. It's, of course, even better to hear Ted DiBiase tell it than me. But
yes.
We'll try and get that audio. But I can't guarantee the panel and Jake.
Yeah,
I'm just worried that,
there's
a lot of problems with the Jake interview. But and only some of them were him.
Yes.
So we'll throw that out
there. So.
So I just want to quickly ask you, what do you think will happen tomorrow? And what do you do tomorrow for Raw?
Well, see, that's an interesting one because of the way the show ended. You know, the fact is they should both main event participants should be selling injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, at the same time, this is Monday Night Raw starring Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Right? That's the contract, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully
this time he won't come out and cry like he did that time he lost.
I think you do have Brock, like, limping out.
I think
Brock has, like, a promo, and then he's maybe goes away from it.
Was it when he lost to Eddie Guerrero he cried? When he lost the title to, remember he did?
Maybe, yeah, I think so, yeah. But I think that with Lesnar, Lesnar's promo says, you know, here's your face of the company.
Yeah.
And then you show a picture of John
Still
Cena.
Still picture of John Cena.
Bloody,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Even if you do it black and white, you know, it's.
Well, they kind of got away from the black and white. So I think it's the point. But
yeah.
Anyway, I think that's basically what you do, and then it's almost a nothing deal at this point. I think you do a quick hot shot tomorrow of Christian.
Yeah.
In with Punk.
Yep.
To play off that end, because, I mean, again, the fucking pay-per-view is May 12th, or May 20th.
Yeah.
So we got 3 shows.
Yeah.
You know. Do we even have that many?
Yeah, I think so.
3
weeks, right? Yeah.
No, we have three shows. We have May, tomorrow, May 7th, May 14th, and then the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
So we have 3 shows, so I think you have to do Christian, maybe, or you do, I think what you're going to probably end up seeing, likely, what I do is you have Christian, and what I think will have happened is you'll have a battle royal. To determine, this reeks of that, we have 2-week build, let's do a battle royal to figure out his next opponent.
And you could have him be a special entrant, win it.
Right,
and then,
you can, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just have him attack him and play off the whole, you took me out for no reason kind of thing, right? Fuck
exactly.
You. There, I think, again, you could do a Daniel Bryan promo if you want.
You do a Daniel Bryan promo saying, yeah,
I was
disqualified in one of those ones. You didn't pin me twice. You didn't, you know, you do that.
Again, I think they're more still, even though they're starting to pipe in on live shows more now.
Yeah.
I still think they're more comfortable cleaning it up in post on the SmackDown.
That's true, and they, yeah, they don't really, they're trying to avoid having them on live TV too much, but I don't know where the crowd is tomorrow, and I don't know, now that you're away from England, you're away from Miami, and the Mania crowd, you're away from
right, you're right.
Chicago, I don't know that you aren't going to start to get a less hardcore audience that's not going to be as much into Daniel Bryan. We'll
would
see.
They, would they be
we'll
in
see.
Peoria, perhaps?
It's possible, yeah.
I don't, again, I
that's
don't
a, that's
even,
the usual stop after Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking, but thinking. Dayton, Ohio. They're
Dayton,
Dayton
Ohio.
Ohio.
There you go. So, yeah, he could get a less of a, so it could be not as much of a worry there.
Too bad it's not Columbus, because then you can have Frankie Williams there. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. But the only thing really there is that Primo and Epico have to give and Rosa Mendez have to give Abraham Washington their answer as to whether he could be their agent, if he can represent them, all three of them.
Yeah.
So he said that, you know, Monday, I got to know by Monday. So they said, yeah, and then, again, I don't know. To me, I was saying to you, I think maybe that they go babyface and say no, and then he ends up representing another tag team, and then that's a feud.
And you know what?
And Darren Young, right?
Maybe finally give a little attention to the...
Well, let's not get crazy.
To the tag. But, I mean, again, it depends. I mean, recently we've seen these guys lose to what? Like Big Show and Khali?
Khali, and,
I mean,
and they also lost to Santino,
so it might
and
make
Ryder.
So it might make sense for them to want the manager there to also help, too. So,
well, the
we'll
thing
see.
Is, yeah, I mean, that's the reason that they
then
are
again,
on a losing streak.
Here's
right?
the thing, we're talking about this. You know, a week ago you put up a blog,
mm-hmm.
what you do to fix tag teams. A
couple of weeks now.
I did to fix it. What we laid out is way better than what they're likely to do tomorrow.
Oh, for sure.
So, everybody read that and read, you already got another blog written, don't you?
Well, it'll go up tomorrow
yeah.
or today as people read this, another Addy and Bizarro Land. First Addy and Bizarro Land was The Good of John Cena.
Yeah.
This one, we're going to spell the virtues of one Mr. Vince Russo.
Yeah, and I had my Mania celebrity WrestleMania history piece, my first part of that.
Part one for
so there's some fresh blogs up there, so check those out too. I just want to
WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yeah,
we're
talking about what you would do, but what are they going to do? It's kind of more of the question.
Well, as I said, I very well see them putting that face. I said Brock coming out, put the face of the company thing there. I see that actually happening.
Yes, he lost the match, but he's here, and the other guy isn't.
Yeah, and
who's your real winner?
I see, again, I also see, as I said, I could very well see the Primo Epico face turn for Abraham Washington then to go and manage a heel team. You know, I said Titus O'Neil and Darren Young is who I say, and I see it. I also see, as I said, I would do Christian Attack. I see a battle royal with Christian, you know, coming out as a surprise entrant, like you said, and winning. To fight CM Punk. And other than that, as I said, I think maybe Sheamus, if you're going to set up Sheamus and Del Rio, I don't know. Again, now here's what do you do with Daniel Bryan, right? Is that he's lost, and he's
that's
lost.
The thing, there's a lot of guys that weren't on this show. Mark Henry, ADR, Miz, wait.
But, I mean, but the thing is, I mean, you've got Dolph, you've got Swagger, but they don't give a shit about them at all anyway. So, really, your main guys, and really, we had a pay-per-view here where you had Brodus in an unannounced.
What about Jericho? Do you do anything with him now?
That's interesting. I don't know what you do with Jericho, to be honest. I do think you need to have a na-na-na-na moment for Jericho, or does he just leave? Is that him losing to Punk, is that just...
I think you have a cut of promo and leave.
Do you? Or do you just...
I think you have a cut of promo and leave.
We'll
see. I don't know.
The thing is, when you could do that...
You sure he isn't starting in the next movie?
Yeah, well, you know what? He should be in a movie, to be honest. Like,
honestly,
you
can put them in there together. Have a buddy movie with Jericho and Cena.
Big Show. Wasn't there going to be a Kurt Angle Big Show buddy movie? Wasn't that... I think though that a cop movie or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You do Jericho and Cena's cops.
It should be Mark Henry and Cena. There's always a black and white guy.
That's true. That's true. Ebony and Ivory. Mm-hmm. But I think that Jericho, I could go either way, but Jericho, I don't know how you leave if you're going to turn it. See, to me, it's Jericho.
See, I do.
Okay.
It's Laurinaitis.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you this shot. I gave you the shot for people power to get rid of this loudmouth punk.
And you didn't.
And you didn't.
You're fired?
Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you're suspended, whatever. I think you just used that.
The other thing that's announced on the pay-per-view we just neglected to mention, we're talking about Raw here, Hunter.
That's true.
Teddy and Eve and Johnny are in the back, and all of a sudden Johnny's phone rings, and picks up his Hunter, and he's got to go take another room, and then Matt Stryker comes and asks him later, he goes, we have, business, I'm the executive vice president of talent relations and the general manager of Raw and SmackDown, Triple H and I have some business, talk about some of your business,
yeah.
But you'll find out tomorrow.
So something
happened, and
the CEO of the company will be there tomorrow with the general manager, executive, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Perhaps.
It sounds like,
or
yeah.
There's going to at least be some sort of non-wrestling related storyline kind of thing, right?
Oh, okay.
So something that way is going to I don't know if that's maybe the announcement of the draft. We're going to have a draft in whatever. When's the next three-hour show? Is it in May or is it in June?
The draft doesn't have to be 3 hours. The draft could be done in 2 fucking hours.
Well,
the draft used to be done in 2 fucking hours.
The draft could be done in 15.
Even if you want to lay it out, you could do it in 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Okay, maybe then the draft
but again,
is coming. And
again, the draft is less important than ever. With, whatever. No competing, whatever.
Very true, very true. But,
I mean, it's like Mark Henry got how many title shots against Punk?
Well,
and he's on SmackDown?
Alberto Del Rio got traded to SmackDown for future consideration. They just happened to kind of throw away line announce it on commentary.
Yeah.
Right? So,
and I'm like, I thought he was on SmackDown. It doesn't matter.
No,
who knows?
Come over. I remember he came
over.
Yeah,
I know.
But
you
anyway,
know what I mean.
I know what you mean. But that's the thing. So, I mean, who knows? But there is that angle there, too. So you've got that kind of build around. As I said, you'll probably have some bullshit with Brodus and Ziggler. You'll probably have, as I said, you'll have the Abraham Washington segment. You'll have the a Brock segment. You'll have a Punk segment. You'll have, as I said, you may have I would think you'd have a Sheamus segment, not a Daniel Bryan segment.
Probably, yeah.
So there's some stuff. I'll put it this way. I'm not really looking forward to tomorrow so much. Like, this isn't like, what are they going to do? It's kind of, when I think about it, it's like, I'm kind of, okay, what are they going to do with Lesnar and Cena? Where are they going to go with that? Like, how are they going to do that? And then other than that, I don't really care. Because it's obvious now to me that they're going to ignore the fans. When it comes to Daniel Bryan, they're going to keep Daniel Bryan the way they want to keep Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'll be sure he's on. I care, but I'm not.
I'm okay with that for now. I am because I think you need to get past Mania a little bit, see what he's like in some of these other markets. I think he's a great heel. I think even like tonight you were getting a little bit of a Sheamus reaction over him. I'm okay with it for now.
I don't think over him. I think it's 50-50 maybe. But
you know what I mean, for some fans. I mean, to some fans. Not.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I mean, Stone Cold didn't immediately light the world on fire either, and that's kind of the...
Yeah.
It's okay
to stay like that for now.
I'm just saying, I'm not looking forward. It's not, I have to see what Daniel Bryan is going to do next. It's kind of like, hey, he's going to be on, he's going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. And other than that, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's time for us to go... Go OUT as we do, or at least I do. I don't know. I got developed a hell of a cough, so I'm just going to mention it because I forgot to mention this. No matter what, I have two awesome Honky Tonk Man stories from when I was talking to him off air that I will be telling next week. They're great. I'll be saving them. Plus, Hacksaw, we also got a scoop from him.
Really?
So,
yeah. Nice.
So, anyways, I'll let you do the final plugs for everything.
Yes.
I'm going to get out of here because I'm coughing like crazy. So.
All right. Well, it's... We talked about WeTalkWrestling.com. That's where you can find the show. You can find our blogs as well on some things. I know I have a new one going up. Maybe even by the time people are are reading this. It's Mo underscore M-O, Mo underscore We Talk, is Mo's Twitter handle. We get at We Talk Wrestling, another Twitter handle, and I'm Addie, A-D-D-I-E underscore W-T-W, is Twitter. We're on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/ We Talk Wrestling, and you can go on iTunes. We're there. Just look up We Talk Wrestling, and you can subscribe to all the shows on iTunes as well. So I think that's all. We Talk Wrestling at ADDIE Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com. Email to hit us up. That's the last thing I remember. I'm just going to go and make sure that Mo has both his lungs still. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.